Behind home plate, we bringing it to them all day. All day. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. Always. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. Tune in. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Now, here come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336. Next generation of Baltimore sports talk. I am your endearing sitting host, Matt Sroka. As always, I'm joined by the button lover and forever Swifty, Josh Sroka. Hey, Josh.
Hey, forever Swifty. Is there a way to just block all the Swift stuff out of social media?
Oh, like, my gosh. Is there a way to block all the joy out of social media? Is that another way to say that?
Well, no, I just don't need to know 700 times that she changed some verse to mention, like, Travis Kelce.
Oh, did she? That's the first I'm hearing of this.
See, I don't know how.
All the same people.
Yeah, something about, like, I don't know, something about a chief greeting you or something. Right. I don't know. I just know it's, if I go on social media, it's constant. And maybe it's my house. Maybe it's my household. Maybe it's based on what other people in my house are looking at that it then thinks I want this stuff. Perhaps. But
yeah, my kids don't know who Taylor Swift is. And I'm grateful for that.
So, okay. All right. So then maybe it is my house. Don't you start getting like, have you ever noticed that where you'll start getting the ads on Facebook or Twitter or whatever for stuff that your wife has been searching for?
Oh, not usually. Like, I mean, I usually get one specific type of ad now on Facebook. And it's my own fault because I always click on these stupid things.
What is it? What's your ad? What's your Facebook ad?
It's, Josh, it's every, and this is not going to surprise anybody, it's every freaking type of string bat and double barrel bat and pitch net, and it's all these stupid baseball things.
I get all the baseball stuff, and then I, because of my camping thing now, I get a ton of camping ads.
Okay. See, I don't have really any hobbies, so I don't really get anything else.
So it just gives you the baseball.
I just got baseball stuff.
So,
and I always click on it too, so they're just gonna give me more. I've never purchased anything through it, but I'm always intrigued. This thing's gonna solve everybody's hitting problems or whatever.
You get the ads for the baseball box or whatever.
Oh yeah, I get the baseball box.
Plate crate. I think that's the name of it. Plate crate. I get that all the time.
They've targeted me on that one. I'm not buying it though, but you can target me more if you want.
I wish they'd advertise me on another quarterback for my fantasy team. Now that Watson went down, I don't know if you looked, but in our fantasy league, it is slim pickings for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I had to do a double quarterback league.
Yep. Yeah. I like the double quarterback league because of that, but it meant that I had to pick up Kyle Pickett. I think it's Kyle, isn't it? Kenny Pickett.
Oh, you're going with a squealer.
Yeah, I had to go with him. Yeah. Well, it's between him and Bryce Young of the Panthers. Yeah. And I rolled with Bryce Young for a few weeks, and he has not done well for me. I don't think he got 9 points at all.
Yeah, well, I've had him. Your fault for having a jerk like Deshaun Watson your team to begin with.
Yes, that's my fault.
Only yourself to blame.
I agree with that.
And it could have been worse. You could have drafted Aaron Rodgers and been out the whole season.
Or Lamar Jackson, who never gets you fantasy points.
I don't have Lamar Jackson.
No, I know. Dad's got Lamar. I'm just saying if you owned him.
I think I made a nice pickup of Kyler Murray a few weeks back, and that's going to pay off well for me. Just had to stash him a little while.
Yeah, right. And that's what you're telling me. That's what you were telling me to do with what's his name? Huntley.
Huntley.
Stash him now because we all know Lamar gets hurt on week eight. And we're
It's about Lamar Jackson going out for a few weeks' time.
Yeah, it is. It's about that time.
So I hope it doesn't happen. I'm pumped about Thursday. Should be a fun game for Cincinnati. Should be good stuff. I'm excited about it. But we'll see.
We're in the black. It's all black. I keep getting those ads also.
Oh, really? It's a blackout?
Yeah, it's blackout.
That's cool.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
So, all right, Matt, before we get into Orioles stuff, you got to fill me in on this because I get a call from Gigi saying, hey, did you know Matt's in the hospital? And I text you and you said, save it for the podcast. So
yeah, I
think you gotta fill me in with what's going on and why you were in the hospital this week.
All right, I got a quick trip to the hospital, which made me think of a couple things. First of all, I've had some, and we'll get to it, but I've had some time on my hands this week, more so than I can ever recall, because I've been a little bit...
You're up in a hospital bed, maybe?
Well, I was only in a hospital bed for maybe 6 hours. So it started on, I think the story starts on our last podcast, where...
Oh, all right.
You noticed now, I was holding back some shivers.
So I did not mention this during the podcast. I kept it to myself during the show. And then as soon as we stopped recording, I asked you about it because you were shaking stopped during the podcast. So I assumed you have a fever and you're holding it in. And that's what you said. I think I'm getting a cold or something. And you were shivering, like trembling during the podcast last week.
Yeah. I mean, I had like 102 degree fever that night. And
did you know that before doing the podcast?
Well, I started to get a little bit of the chills and started to feel a little bit sick that evening. But then it got progressively worse throughout the podcast.
Because normally we would cancel that and be like, hey, we'll podcast later.
It's not that serious. It's just a podcast. Yeah, it's not that serious. But but I'm a gamer. I'm a gamer. So this is my flu game. That was my Michael Jordan moment right there.
Right. To be fair, it took me till most of the podcast, I didn't notice the shivering. Yeah. And then it just became, you were shaking really bad at the end.
Yeah. I mean, by the time I was done the podcast, went to bed, like my whole body, I couldn't stop from shaking. So anyway, there's been a strain of strep going through my house. Everyone's got strep. In fact, everyone's gotten it. A lot of us have gotten it, like Flora and Faye has gotten it twice. So it's just gone around.
That's awesome.
And it's gone around again. So I thought for sure, okay, I got the old strep. Now I didn't have a sore throat, but I had the body aches and the temperature. So I went to urgent care the next day. This is Tuesday, up the street to urgent care, so they could give me the test and I can get on some medicine for strep. But they tested me for strep and they tested me for flu and COVID. None of it. It all came back negative. So I was like, oh, that's weird, because I thought for sure that's what it was. So it just must be a virus. But while I was there, I also said, about 3 weeks ago, I was doing yard work and got a little poison ivy on my legs. Now, Josh, this is something that my wife and I disagree on. Yeah, this is something my wife and I disagree on strongly. And I know I'm in the wrong here. I know I'm going down like Tom Cruise territory
I'm assuming that 3 weeks ago you like put that pink calamine lotion all over it and took care of it properly.
No, here's my thing. I don't like to take and do medicine at all. I like my natural body to handle itself. I don't even like to take Advil when I have a headache. I like body... You know how to respond to this headache. Do your thing. And that's how I feel with the, I don't mind itching a little bit. It feels really good in the shower. So I'm like, body, do your thing with this poison ivy, right? But unfortunately, the body wasn't doing its thing very well. But I always just assume like eventually it'll get better, right? But eventually your body heals itself.
Right. Yeah, you just wait it out.
Yeah, I waited out. So I went to urgent care and I tested negative for everything. And I said, hey, while I'm there, can I get some steroid stuff? Because this poison ivy has been 3 weeks. I'm here. Can you just give me something?
I didn't know poison ivy lasted that long. I thought poison ivy was just a few days.
Yeah, I think if it lasts longer than a week or something, you have a problem. And so I'm on 3 weeks here. So I have a problem. And it's not getting better. In fact, it's getting worse. And they look at it and they're kind of surprised. They're like, oh, this is actually looks really bad. And they took like a culture of, you know, there was like, it looks kind of a little bit infected. So they took a culture to send back to a lab.
Infected, and they gave me like some. Because you're scratching it so much?
No, I wasn't really scratching it.
Okay.
I don't recall ever scratching it, to be honest. It just kind of developed this wound.
Okay.
To like an open wound. And then the next day, Wednesday, my leg gets a lot worse. Like I can barely stand on my leg. So my leg gets the wound is really painful. It feels like it's on fire.
You can't stand on it.
It's painful to stand on it. Yeah.
Like you can't. Oh, that sounds really bad. Like getting ready. You about to tell me you only have one leg now?
And then I'm waiting for it to heal. I'm waiting for my fever to go down. And I keep on getting the fevers. I keep on getting the shakes. My body still aches. And then Wednesday night, Emily's like, and Emily's been telling me probably since Tuesday night, you got to go to the ER because your leg looks really bad. Maybe it's infected. Like urgent care can't handle this. You got to go to ER. But I ignore her. And then Wednesday night, I tell her, okay, fine. If I get one more fever, I'll go to ER. And Emily's scaring me as far as what you're saying, Josh, about not losing a leg. Yeah. But
if you're telling me you can't walk on it and you have a fever, to me, I'm pretty sure that means they got to chop it off.
Yeah. And she's talking about how they're going to go and gouge it out and gouge out the bacteria. So she's scared me here.
That's
and
even worse.
She just sent cut a picture off the leg before you to gouge all her, it out. She sent a picture on her nurse friends and they're saying, why is he not at the ER? So I said, fine. Though the ER to me feels like.
Did you tell her you're just a nurse? Can you send that picture to a doctor?
Yeah, exactly. No, the ER for me, though, feels like, you know, if I get a gunshot when I'm going to ER, I'm not going to ER because I have a little boo-boo on my knee.
You know what irritates me about the ER is the people who are there for a little boo-boo.
Yeah, well, I went there, Josh. This is my first time ever as a patient going into the ER. I've never done it before. Have you done this before?
Once. Kidney stones.
Okay, kidney stones.
Kidney stones.
Yeah. Well, I went there, and I'll tell you what, Macon, Georgia, on a Wednesday evening around 9 o'clock, the ER was bumping.
I think the ERs always are, but okay.
There was no seats available. It was standing room only. And the receptionist, you know, you talked there, could not have been nicer. She was so sweet. And of course, like they... Did you
show your leg to try to get in ahead of everyone?
No, but I explained my situation and they're like, okay. And then they do the triage thing where, you know, they call you to this first room where they take your temperature.
Yeah, like the little curtain room.
Right. And I had 102 degree temperature. So already I'm up the list with my 102 degree temperature. And then I go to the next triage room where they actually ask what's wrong with you. And I show my leg. And this has been the first time I started to get really concerned because every person I showed my leg from this point onward was just kind of aghast. Like, this is the ER. You guys see gross stuff all the time. Yeah. Every time they saw my ER.
They're vomiting.
Yeah, they're not vomiting, but I can see their face. I can read their face. And their face is kind of shocked. And they're all giving me, and they told me that when I went in that first room, they're like, this is really bad. You should have been here a couple of days ago. You're probably going to have an extended stay here because this is really bad. So I'm like, oh, crap. And so I don't stay long in the ER at all. I mean, it's a packed house. I'm there for maybe 30 minutes because I'm up on the priority list.
Right? Oh, you mean all right, waiting list. I thought you were saying in and out in 30 minutes. You're saying
waiting room, to be seen. Minutes.
Yeah, because you scared everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they get me a room. After like 30 minutes, they hook me up to all this stuff. The doctor comes in. And the doctor's the first guy who's not like appalled by the sight of my leg. He goes in there. He's like, that's so-and-so. That's this bacteria. That's succulentitis. And that's this and that's that. He's calling everything out. He's like, the expert here. I appreciate that. This guy's not scared of it. But this guy's not, you know, grossed out.
This guy should have came in and been like, oh, that's pretty bad. We're going to have to take that off. We're going to have to just cut you. We can probably save the knee, but we'll take it off.
He did roll in there in scrubs, but like he was wearing classic leather cowboy boots, which I thought was a little bit weird, but whatever. I guess doctors can wear whatever they want.
Was he a short guy that wants to be a little taller?
No, he was actually really tall. It wasn't a DeSantis thing. He was pretty tall. But then, you know, so I said, finally, this guy's not, you know, gassed at my leg.
Yeah,
but then when he was leaving, before the door closed, I heard him say something to the nurse like, poor guy. Which made me feel bad too. Even this guy's saying, poor guy. So I'm there until they had two bags of antibiotics and they said, you can't go anywhere until we pump you with these two bags of antibiotics. And then they gave me the option to stay as they continue to pump me through antibiotics. Or they gave me, said, listen, if you can keep your foot elevated and take these antibiotics, we'll send you home. And then just come back if it gets any worse. And so,
and obviously you chose to go home.
I chose to go home. Chose to go home. Yeah, because I'm not even a few things shocked me about the whole experience. First of all, I thought we were in a day and age where people wore masks in hospitals. No one even in the ER, nobody was wearing a mask. Even in the hospital, nobody was wearing a mask. That was a little surprising to me. I don't go in the hospital very often.
No, I thought we
were still like masks on in ERs, especially with a bunch of sick people all around.
No, I think we all learned masks didn't really help, so we just moved on.
Okay. See, I'm still buying, if I'm sick, I'm wearing a mask. I'm still into that. And I don't know if I'll ever get past that. So I wore a mask in the ER because I didn't want to know what I had. I realized was not.
You wore a mask, but did you wear shorts?
No, I was wearing longer pants.
All right. Well, that's kind of like masks for your legs.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I couldn't pass anything through my mouth. It was all blood bacteria here that was my problem. That's so it turned out to be just a really bad kind of infection that, yeah, if it would have extended on, it could have gotten a lot worse and cost me my leg. But obviously we caught it before it completely infected all of my blood. So, and now it's a lot better. I was kind of in bed all weekend. Okay, what's that?
You can walk okay now?
I can walk fine now. I went to work this week, kind of normal. I still try to elevate it, but it's not painful really at all. The fevers have been gone now for 3 days or 4 days. Yeah. And so I just stayed in bed a lot on Friday and Saturday, but at least Thursday, Friday I did. So a lot of time to think. I got some creative ideas up here percolating.
From the drugs?
Yeah. And just from my own creativity, because I just had nothing to do. I finally finished. It took me, Josh, I've been trying to watch the entire series of Doctor Who for literally the past 10 years. I finally finished Doctor Who. So that's a very success story in my life. At least the most recent iteration of Doctor Who. So that was big for me.
I mean, sounds like this was all a great experience for you.
Yeah, I have no
idea. You waited until the absolute last minute so that you could just get priority access to the emergency room.
Absolutely. They rolled out the red carpet for me.
Came home. Just sat around, let your family wait on you, and you watch Doctor Who. I mean, it doesn't sound bad.
Yeah. It was a little complicated on the weekend because my wife works Saturday, Sunday, and, you know, my kids don't wait on me. They're not that age. They're still needy kids. But other than that, it was pretty, I had a good excuse for work, not to show up.
Now, you said that that the nurses and were pretty shocked by how your leg looked.
Yeah.
Did you take advantage of that for getting out of work and just send a photo and be like, I can't think I'll be in today?
No, I'm not into sending photos. I didn't take any pictures of my leg. Emily took a picture and sent it to some people. I didn't take any pictures. I'm not into that. I did get one of the first text messages I got, though, was, and I've never received a text message from this person before in my life. I even checked. You know, if you look at the history, this is my first text message ever from this person. And it was from Bert Rohde. And you know what the text said?
It was that's the first time Bert's texted you, really?
Just me. That wasn't part of a group chat. It was just me. Just
a one-on-one text. Yeah. Okay.
I have no other history in my phone of an ever text from him.
Right, because we used to use Messenger to communicate, but you're right. It was always group messages with the three of us.
Yeah, and his text is just, yo, text me a pic of your leg. And then he proceeds to send me a picture of his leg.
Nobody asked for that. We've been there.
I didn't ask for that. I didn't want it. And he said, here's mine from 10 months ago. Like, as in, like, if he showed me his gross leg, I was supposed to show him my, like, a show and tell here, right?
It's show me yours, I'll show you mine.
Yeah. But I'm not into that. So I was like, Bert, I'm not doing this. I'm not playing this game with you, all right? I'm sending you a pic.
You didn't send him a disgusting pic to try to outdo his disgusting pic?
No, I wasn't playing that game. I didn't send any pics, and I didn't take any pictures. Though I do think Emily sent him a pic.
Okay, he worked his way around because he needed that pick.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad your leg's all better. I believe my text to you was, all right, well, as long as you're good, we'll just talk at the podcast.
Yeah, it was never.
Because I talked to Gigi and she's like, oh, Matt's leg is disgusting.
I only talked to Gigi about it just because I knew if she found out in a different way, she'd be really mad. So I texted her from the ER, but it was, I don't know. They have good antibiotics. I think I might be allergic though. Very itchy. Got rashes.
That's called poison ivy.
No, itchy because
of poison ivy.
No, this is since I started taking antibiotics, like my chest and arms have broken out with like red dots and are really itchy.
Well, why are you rubbing it on your chest?
No, it's just taken orally the antibiotic.
I know, I get you.
I have an allergic reaction, but I don't want to say anything because I don't want to go back there and get more medicine, switch it up. I'd rather, right. I got to take this for whatever amount of days, for four more days, I'm just going to take them and be itchy.
Wait until you have another nasty infection on your chest, then you'll go back.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to wait until you get that priority access to the emergency room.
Also, can I just say at the emergency room, there was never a conversation about money. I assume at some point I'm going to get a very large bill in the mail, but there was never any conversation about how much money it will cost.
No, they never talk about money.
I have options here as far as
no.
Even if they said you want to stay longer, I wasn't even thinking about no. Like I want to be home. I was thinking about no. You're not going to charge me to live here. It was all about money was my ultimate driving factor because they never mentioned anything. Never was any money ever mentioned. Though I'm sure I'll get a nice little bill here in the mail.
But you gave them your insurance information.
Right.
And I'm sure you have decent insurance with the college.
Decent is, it's a private college. It's
all decent. Right. So it's probably, we just did that this week trying to figure out insurance stuff. And I don't think there's anything as good insurance anymore.
Yeah. Though I was really annoyed too. This kind of stuff that really bothers me. After I go to the ER, I park in the ER parking lot, right? They have a special parking garage for the ER.
Yeah.
And then as I'm leaving, I got to pay $4 for my parking. So not only do you
there's your money
gouge me for the ER visit, but you get me on the way out with the $4 parking bill.
I don't think I've heard of that. I think the hospitals I go to have had free parking.
Yeah, I was not happy.
No, because $4. Do they really need that extra parking money? Yeah, like they're making enough money.
And this is clearly the parking lot marked for ER visits, so it's not like you know.
Right, it's not all the. Yeah, it's not all the people visit in for like new babies and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you'll have visitors. Everyone here's got an emergency.
So that's my story. So yeah, first trip to the ER, hopefully my last trip to the ER. But everyone was great. The nurse was great. The doctor was great. The receptionist, even when I was leaving, this beautiful receptionist, as in a beautiful soul. She like remembered me from when she checked me in when it was total chaos and said, "Hey, how'd it go? Are you doing better?" And she was just really sweet. So just great people over here at the Macon Hospital.
That's great. It's good.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good weekend.
The only other thing is, there was like a machine. They hook you up to a bunch of machines and
yeah, a lot of beeping.
Like at one point, like there was a beeping going off.
Right.
And then the doctor came in like 10 minutes later. And I was like, what's that beeping? Oh, he's like, oh, that's just the beeping is actually that machine that monitors your breath and heartbeat. And it thinks that you're no longer breathing.
I thought it was always like a solid beep. You know, in the movies, it's a beep is good. And if it just goes, it's bad. Like
this is a different kind of machine. But I was like, shoot, if that said that for the past 10, 15 minutes, what if I was really in here not breathing?
How long was it going to take you to come? It tells you that that machine breaks so often that they all just ignore it.
Well, and then it happened again, but I found the snooze button and I would just go over there and hit the snooze button myself on that thing.
Yeah. It's like when you go to like Walmart or something and the little shoplifting, light and siren goes off every time someone leaves. And everyone just ignores it because it goes off so many times.
Because there's so many shoplifters.
Well, I was going to say by accident, but nowadays maybe so.
Okay.
So I went, my weekend was I went camping to Fort Clinch down here.
All in. Josh got the camper. He's all in. Let's go.
All in. Where every weekend I'm in this camper and getting the money's worth out of it. And what I learned this weekend is I never realized that the Civil War came down to Florida, that there were battles down here, because I am apparently an idiot and thought that all the important battles for this country took place in Gettysburg and Williamsburg and in Maryland, Virginia.
Where it all happened.
Exactly. Fort McHenry and stuff. I did not know there was a fort down here called Fort Clinch that was active during the Civil War. So that was my history lesson. So a little different than your hospital visit.
Yeah.
So, but hey, since you're all, yeah.
Can I can just real quick and tell you one of the ideas I have percolating?
Yes, please. Hey, we could go for an hour and not talk Orioles off season, and we won't miss that much. It'll be all right.
I do have some off season notes though to get to.
Yeah. All right. Tell me your idea. Your idea. And I'll tell you if it was induced by time or drugs.
Okay. And tell me if this thing already exists. I know this exists in some formats, but I've looked previously, and couldn't find anything like it.
You know, I used to have the app company where I would make apps.
Yeah.
And I would get people at least once a week. I'd get a text message or a phone call for someone with a great app idea. and it already existed.
Yeah.
Every single time. And I'd respond with like, well, you should download Google Maps then. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right. So let me hear your idea.
Anyone ever do Find a Potty app? I know this exists. All right. But how I'm doing it does not exist yet.
Okay.
All right. And this, I might, if I have time, I might make it and then put it on your, on Birdland Sports. It's Josh and, an activity book that teaches kids, that has fun activities while also teaching kids about the rules and the history of baseball. But in fun, you know, matching ways, coloring book ways, simple children activity book ways. I got about maybe three or four baseball activity books to do with Silas. Some about kind of history, higher level, lower level, and there's nothing good out there.
I love this idea.
Yeah.
I think we should work on this together and make this. I would say about 5 years ago, we had a guy on this podcast that was putting out a book like this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was to teach kids how to keep score at a baseball game.
Yeah, that could be part of the activity.
In the activity book.
Yeah.
And it was an activity book for your kid to do while you were at the ball game.
Yes, it's this idea.
So yes, we had a guy do this.
Because like Silas loves word problems and math, but only if we can connect it to like baseball. So you could even do like some math activities in there. Other activities all centered around baseball.
I think you and I could do a better job than this guy. I don't think this guy had kids.
And the stuff that's on Amazon, it's not good as far as what I've seen. And maybe there's a better one out there that I haven't seen yet.
No, I think this is a great idea. I think we're the right market for it. I think we could even make it, or I think making it Orioles-centric and the history of the Orioles, would focus it. If you focus it on Baltimore baseball, then you have this great market where we can then expand it to other teams and make money off Yankee fans and everything too down the road.
Yeah.
So no.
That's the other thing that was percolating is, I mean, one of the things that got my son into reading is this book about, we got to get this guy on the podcast. I got to reach out to him. But it's a children's series called Ballpark Mysteries. And each book takes place in a different stadium. And my son loves to read about the different stadiums while also kind of reading an interesting story, a somewhat interesting story. But what's more important than the mystery or the story itself, the plot, is the fact that it takes place in the baseball stadium. Like, that hooks my son. So it's that idea too.
I like this idea.
All right.
I like the idea of a word search for kids that's like, all like a bunch of former Orioles. So then you get to learn about like different player names and stuff. And I like the idea. I think it's something we can put together and release it through Birdland Sports. And maybe there's a listener or two that's even better at this type of stuff than us or wants to help out as well.
Yeah, I got a lot of good activity ideas. The graphics and stuff, I don't know exactly how that works.
I can handle the graphics.
All right.
So, and I can handle the making it a book.
All right.
So we could do something like this. It's a good thing that we should work on for the off season to have ready in time for the new season.
All right. Well, if I get another wound on my leg, I can actually start working on it, have time to work on it. And
well, I'll just wait for the chest infection.
Yeah, just I need another kind of debilitating injury here to give me some time to actually work on these things.
All right. I like that idea. Any other ideas?
That's the only one at this point I like to share on the podcast.
Okay. All right. The other ones you got to think through a little bit first.
Yeah. Though Josh, you on your camping, you have plenty of time to think and percolate too.
No, that's true. In fact, I worked on, I did work on some Birdland stuff while camping because I want to expand. And I don't remember. I made a couple of new things. I built a puzzle for Birdland Sports that I put up on the store that I did while camping. And then I started playing with shoes.
How many pieces is this puzzle? Is this 1,000 piecer? Is this a big
puzzle? No. It's 520 pieces.
Okay, it's a mid-size. All right.
No, and it's the Birdland Boys, and it's a cool pink, purple. Yeah, I think it's really cool.
All right.
Perfect for any Orioles fan. So I worked on that, and then I started playing with shoe designs because I want to come up with like a cool Orioles shoe that's like perfect to wear to opening day.
Hmm. You're trying to follow in Ye's footsteps here. I see you.
Maybe, I mean, I'd love the money, but I don't think I'd go crazy and
start drawing swastikas in Germany. Yeah,
whatever he's doing now. Exactly. I haven't checked in a while, but I think there's a few steps. I'll stop a few steps early.
Yeah, probably smart.
So.
All right, cool. All right, you want to get into some off-season stuff?
Sure. You want to get in the fact that DraftKings owes me $150 once I get up into Maryland?
Oh, nice. For what was the bet?
Rookie of the year.
Oh, because nice.
Before the season, I bet like $5 or $10 for Gunnar Henderson to win rookie of the year. So that got announced this week.
Yeah. So award season here, Gunnar rookie of the year. No controversy there.
No.
Yeah. And Brandon Hyde, manager of the year.
Yeah.
I think he got something like 30 out of 35 first place votes. So that was
Controversy because they liked postseason wins, and the fact that we didn't get postseason wins made.
But this is a regular season award,
right? But I know, but it still makes the guy for Texas look good.
Yeah, Bruce Bochy.
Yeah,
And his team had a big turnaround too, the Rangers.
Right,
but I think one of the primary differences is they had a bunch of high-priced free agents come and do it, and the Orioles had a bunch.
Yeah, what's that like?
Yeah, the Orioles did not have a bunch of high price.
No, but really, really exciting for Brandon Hyde. Again, Brandon Hyde and Gunnar Henderson, these were kind of obvious end of the season where it's like, clearly they've got to win these.
Yep.
So then we got an announcement today about a fourth place finish.
Yep, for Kyle Bradish and the Cy Young, which sounds about right. It sounds good.
Yeah, it was unanimous for what's his name that won it?
Garrett Cole.
And then I saw Kevin Gausman was up there. And
I think Sonny Gray was up there.
And Sonny Gray. All guys who, yeah, they're better than Kyle Bradish. But Kyle Bradish had an outstanding year. And it was really nice to see him get some recognition. I know Batista was like seventh or eighth on that list as well. But yeah.
And he would have more votes if he would have stayed healthy.
Yeah, but you're never going to give that to a reliever.
No. But that's, I mean, I think that was the highest anyone's ever finished since another reliever, Zach Britton.
Yes.
And what was that, 2014 in his great year?
But you're talking two guys who are dominant at their positions.
Right. And even that, it's good enough for fourth place. But if you think about it, I mean, I know a lot of people, we need a top rotation arm here. But if you think about it, according to this, we had the fourth best pitcher in the American League. That sounds like a top of the rotation arm to me. When you're the fourth best pitcher in the American League, right?
Yeah. But do you believe that he can keep it up? Like, what clicked? I'd love to get Bradish on the podcast this offseason. Because that's my thing is, like, what clicked for him this year to take that next step? And we've seen guys like Gausman, it took long, and then it clicked with him once he left Baltimore. Once he got to Toronto, things clicked. And we're seeing that with Bradish, where this year it really clicked with him, and it's like, can we see him build on that? I hope so, because you're right. It's easy to say I want a top of the rotation guy. But here we've got Kyle Bradish. We've got John Means. We've got Grayson Rodriguez. It's like, do we need a top guy? Is that the wise place to spend your money?
Right. And if you're going to want to get a new ace in here, are you going to find someone who's better than the fourth best pitcher in the American League? I mean, if you want to sign Sonny Gray, maybe, but probably not.
No, exactly. And then you rank in, okay, well, who are you bringing in that's going to be the number two on your team? If Kyle Bradish is your number one, who's your number two? Are you really spending money to bring someone in that's better than Grayson Rodriguez or John Means?
Yeah.
And then it's, well, I don't know. Then I was looking at Kyle Gibson's stats, and I was like, he was perfectly fine.
Right. Well, then this is how we end up with a Kyle Gibson again.
I know it is. It's totally how we end up with a Kyle Gibson. But then I looked at Gibson's number, and I'd be like, that'd be okay. I'm fine with that. I don't know if I want someone like Kyle Gibson. I also think, well, I can trust Tyler Wells or DL Hall or someone in that rotation spot or Dean Kramer. but it makes me, as much as I want a guy like Eduardo Rodriguez, I understand if we don't spend the money on him.
Yeah. You know, there's this, if you go to Orioles news, I noticed this thing is happening. It's kind of bizarre.
What do you mean Orioles news? Is this a new website you're visiting?
Well, no, I go to, you know, I always do this for the show. I go to Orioles and then I click on the news tab in Google. Orioles and click on the news tab. But there's this thing, you know, it's Sports Illustrated, but it's not really Sports Illustrated. If you click on it, it's called Fan Nation.
Yeah. Are you
familiar with this, Fan Nation?
I'm not familiar with Fan Nation, but it's like, it's a Sports Illustrated ran.
And they like branch off for different teams. But the headlines for, now I just Googled Orioles Sports Illustrated and then went to news. And it says Sports Illustrated at the top. And then when you click on it,
yeah,
it goes like the fan side. But yeah, the headlines,
it's like Camden Chat or something, but then it says it's USA Today.
Yeah. But listen to these headlines. The headlines, I'm just going to read the headlines because they're bonkers. The first one says potential Baltimore Orioles pitching target Aaron Nola turns down qualifying offer.
That's the one I just looked at. Yeah.
The next one is Orioles slugger reportedly available. Red Sox would be logical trade partner. We can get back to that one in a second.
No. I'm not giving Santander to the Red Sox.
The next headline, Baltimore Orioles. This is all within the last day. Baltimore Orioles free agency target Sonny Gray turns down qualifying offer. Here's another one, Josh. This is eight hours ago. Is the Shohei Ohtani and Baltimore Orioles connection real?
All right. Hold on.
Here's the next headline.
Hold on.
Baltimore Orioles can pursue all-star closer Josh Hader as he turns down qualifying offer. Do you want me to keep on going? There's more, Josh.
No, stop.
Can I give you one more?
Hold on. Hold on. I'm clicking on this Aaron Nolan story because I had that pulled up. Did you read any of these articles?
No, I'm just reading the headlines. The headlines are bonkers.
All right, hold on. It says it's written by this guy.
Every free agent.
Well, I think I have a theory. You can go on if you want. You want to read another one?
Okay, can I just read one more? Because this one, it might be the best. Orioles reportedly could trade for Rays ace Glasnow.
Okay, all right. I'm trying to see if they're all written by the same guy. No, it's two different names. Brad Waki. This one's about Adam Plutko.
I mean, they're pumping these things out. I mean, these are all in the past day or two.
Is this AI? Because these articles are stupid. So is this AI written articles? Or they're like just...
Oh, it might be. All the headlines look... Are all stupid. Similar, right? Potential Baltimore Orioles pitching target turns down qualifying offer. It says that a couple of times.
All right, let's say Shohei Ohtani and Baltimore Oriole connection real. There's been major speculation that the Baltimore Orioles might take a major swing for Shohei Ohtani.
There has not been major speculation. Where am I missing major speculation?
Exactly.
Have they been listening to our podcast?
No, because even here it's like a dream wish. No, this. See, I'm reading this whole thing. And there's nothing here. All right, here's a quote. They have a quote in the Shohei Ohtani article from Rock Kabako of Masson emphatically wrote, there is a reason why these reports were so surprising. You want more of a fantasy? Read any article suggesting a possible link between the Orioles and free agent Shohei Ohtani. Stop it, please. They don't need a full-time DH. And they won't hand out the most lucrative contract in baseball history with some published salary predictions around $500 million, he says.
All right, Josh.
Where is the major?
They said that there's a reason why these reports are so surprising. What reports? What reports link Ohtani to the Orioles?
The Orioles have been able to come.
Have you seen any report?
No, even right here. No, it says. Under this article, surprisingly, to many reporters and insiders that have continually included Baltimore in the speculation of where Ohtani could play in the future. I have not seen a single reporter say Ohtani in Baltimore. It doesn't make any sense.
No one. And they have this for all of them. They have it for J- Josh Hader, right. Sonny Gray, Aaron Nola. They have Orioles kind of linked to all these things.
All right. At the bottom, it's this article is by Brad Wakai. Brad Wakai graduated from Penn State University with a degree in journalism. While an undergrad, he did work at student radio station covering different Penn State athletic programs like football, basketball, volleyball, soccer, and other sports. I don't know if this guy's real.
Maybe our boy Andrew knows him.
I'm trying to click on his like little, how you know how they'll put like the Twitter icon, but it didn't come up. I think this might be AI articles because it makes no sense.
And there's so many of them. The one that did make a little bit of sense was the one Oriole Slugger reportedly available. Red Sox would be logical trade partners
for Santander. First of all,
there's no evidence that, and you know what Oriole Slugger they're talking about, right?
Anthony Santander.
Yeah.
All right, I was going to say, and you're saying no Adley Rutschman.
There's no reports that Santander is available, though there is, and they quote here. Jeff Passan put out his, you know, off-season prediction article or whatever. And there Jeff Passan mentions the possibility that the Orioles have. It says, here's what Jeff Passan says. It says, the Orioles have some serious problems. Beyond its infield glut, Baltimore has too many outfielders too. And with Santander set to make around $12 million in his first final arbitration season, he could move for young pitching and the Orioles could settle on an Austin Hayes, Cedric Mullins, Colton Cowser, or Heston Kerstedt outfield. So that was the quote by Passan that led to this article about could Boston be a good fit.
Well, I found Brad Wakai on Twitter, and he's the host of the I Said What I Said podcast and a writer for Fan Nation, contributor for Nittany Lions, so Penn State.
All right, so he's legit.
Somehow. I'm scrolling through his Twitter feed. You know how often he talks about the Orioles?
I don't know.
I'm into October, and I don't see a single mention about the Orioles in his Twitter feed.
All right. So maybe he does this article for every team.
I just followed him, hoping that he will follow me so I can message him to try to figure out what he is talking about. And I'm guessing that this is AI. There's no way a person wrote this article and it makes any sense. Yeah, this is crazy. And you're right. Every article on this website is crazy. So did you know that MLB is considering rule changes for 2024?
I did not know that.
Let's see. This is again on this website. Take this as it might mean any, might mean nothing. Let's see. They're looking to shorten the pitch clock a little bit to get it even shorter from 20 seconds to 18 seconds, according to this website. So,
hey, some other off-season news for the Orioles.
Yeah.
They outrighted, which means they removed from the 40-man Taron Bavra and Tucker Davidson. Tucker Davidson, I did not know he was even a person who existed, but he did exist, and he was an Orioles 40-man, and now he's removed. Taron Bavra, a little surprising, removed from the 40-man. So now the Orioles have 36 spots on the 40-man, so four openings. And they also had the deadline to protect people from the Rule 5, and they chose not to protect anybody from the Rule 5 draft, which I don't know what the list of names were. And right, I saw some names. It's not surprising.
Yeah,
there but was no it's one a little there. Surprising in the sense that there was such a strong farm system that they didn't need to protect anybody this year. I'm sure tougher decisions will come down the road. But I guess young players like, you know, Westbrook and Kerstedt have already kind of made the jump, so they don't need to be protected.
Right. Yeah, they're already on it.
Yeah, Josh, I think there was Vavra being removed from the 40-man. Was that surprising you at all?
No, I'll tell you that this Tucker Davidson, though, I looked at his stats and I don't really get it.
Why he was removed from the 40?
No, why we signed him.
Oh.
Like what we're expecting from him. It's like, eh.
Well, I mean, clearly he's a depth piece because he didn't even stay on the 40 man.
Yeah, true. All right. So you got me distracted on this Sports Illustrated thing.
Oh, man. All right.
All right. So I Googled Fan Nation AI articles.
Yeah.
And I can't read the article because I'm not going past the paywall of the Wall Street Journal. But on February 3rd of 2023, their headline story is Sports Illustrated publisher taps AI to generate articles and story ideas. And I can't read any of the story because I'm not going to pay them their dollar per week.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that's what we tapped into, which is shows you how stupid like AI is, and that they're writing just those articles about every team. You probably have a Shohei Ohtani Fan Nation article for every single team.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. Or Ohtani's coming to Baltimore. It's one of the two is probably true.
One or the other. Yeah.
Yeah, one or the other. So the other big kind of deadline looking at the offseason is Friday. We talked before about, will the Orioles, we went through the arbitration guys, and there's a non-tender deadline. So you don't have to sign a guy by this date, but if you can this is the date where if you don't want to offer a guy a contract, you just want to release them because you don't want to make his arbitration number. Like a Ryan McKenna, right, for example, thought to make a decision if they want to even offer Ryan McKenna a contract. The non-tender deadline is Friday. So if they do not want to kind of even negotiate and re-sign Ryan McKenna, they have to let him know by Friday. Might be an interesting day to look. Because even if they don't sign these players, if they don't want to resign them, they have to let them know by Friday. So just a date to this Friday to kind of keep in mind, you might see some surprising news as far as non-tender.
But it's going to be guys. It's not going to be any big names.
The biggest name, I think, would be Ryan McKenna.
Right.
Maybe Keke Aiken. Yeah.
And if they non-tender him, it's just because they don't want to pay him that much.
Right. I assume Dylan Tate will be non-tendered. I think we talked about this last week. So there could be some guys, but I don't think anyone's going to surprise us. Right. I think Tate, Aiken, McKenna. Yeah, I think that's kind of the list.
Yeah, that's pretty straightforward. Yeah, but this is where you'll start to, I guess, once we get past that day to Friday, Thanksgiving week will be slow. But then we get into the winter meetings.
Yeah, December, beginning of December is winter
meetings. 4th, 5th, 6th. So that's when we're going to start seeing some guys sign. Bigger names than...
It's certainly some rumors.
Tucker Davis.
Yeah, more legitimate rumors and... the hot stove, if you will start to heat up probably after Thanksgiving.
I guess Mateo is one of those two. Mateo and Urias. We talked a lot about those two last week. Those could be two big names for Friday as well.
If they're non-tender, that would be a big news story. I think that'd be a big deal.
That'd be a big deal. Well, again, not a big deal, but big news for... as far as names on the Orioles that might.
Yeah, and frankly, I'd be really surprised.
Yeah, I don't know. It all depends on this future. And if they really see Jackson Holliday coming up, you're going to be making some room out in this infield.
No, I agree. You're going to have to make room at some point. It's going to be an interesting offseason. We're just getting into it here, but it's going to be an interesting offseason. And those four open 40-man spots, I don't know what that means. Part of me is you didn't need to send Bobber down now, but I don't know when. Maybe this is they're trying to sneak him through waivers or something. But now they're just sitting there with four open spots. So make sure where do they go with four open spots?
Yeah, hopefully it's not for the Rule 5 draft.
Yeah, I don't think they're drafting four guys in the Rule 5 draft.
Right, I think we're past that.
Yeah, maybe one.
I don't know.
Maybe a
bullpen guy.
Yeah, bullpen arm.
A guy that you can always send back if he doesn't look like anything in spring.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Don't hate the Rule 5. Tyler Wells, your boy. Santander, Tyler Wells, Rule 5 guys.
No, we've had some great Rule 5s.
Yeah.
I think O'Day back in the day was a Rule 5.
Yep.
All right. Well, very little Orioles news this week. But thank you.
I mean, the big news is the Henderson and the Hyde stuff. But yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, isn't that more like just dragged out celebration? Like we knew 2 months ago that was going to be the case.
Yeah.
And we just had to wait because Major League Baseball is now doing like one award a week or however.
Yeah. I think they're trying to drag it out. Baseball relevant in these months when no one really cares about baseball. I guess you have to have something for the MLB network to play.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get the MLB network anymore because it's not on YouTube TV, which is annoying.
Oh yeah, I don't get it either now because it's not on YouTube TV either.
Uh-huh. You've been using my YouTube TV.
Yeah, I have been. I watched something I also watched when I was kind of laid up. I watched some NBA. I haven't watched NBA, I feel like, in years. I've watched some Victor Wembanyama. So I watched some NBA basketball, so that was fun.
Yeah. Did you see that the other Orioles news this week was that we're trying to bring in a new bullpen coach? And I didn't know we were bringing in a guy from the outside like that. There was talk about
a new pitching coach.
Yeah, that we were interested in the guy from the Giants.
Okay.
And I was surprised because I thought we would just move someone up from AAA.
Yeah, that was some of the rumors.
So I was surprised to see that.
But we haven't hired anybody yet, right?
No, haven't hired anyone yet.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the pitching coach is interesting. I mean, and Elias has been pretty outspoken, as Elias is, and pretty honest, saying they're looking for a starter and they're looking for someone. And here, I think this is a quote, right? Someone with closer experience.
Yeah, I think that's because he doesn't want to put Tyler Wells or DL Hall back there,
or Cano.
Well, I think Cano. We're comfortable with Cano in that eighth inning spot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think Cano is, everyone predicts Cano is going to be lights out this year. I think
no.
Cano is hittable. And so, yeah, I think there's no clear, if Cano's not the guy, and if they still want to try DL Hall and Wells out at starter, there is no clear. I don't think Perez, Coulomb, I mean, they're nice bullpen pieces. I don't think they're the answer as a closer.
No, and I don't think you can put together your 7, 8, 9. I think there's a hole. There's definitely a hole there.
Yeah. But I tell you what, if you can find a closer who can do it, that solves a lot of your problems, right? Cano can go back to being eighth. You can do matchup baseball with Coulomb and Perez.
Yep.
Doing the lefty matchup. So it just makes your bullpen a lot better if you can find that ninth inning guy. Would be nice to be Josh Hader, but probably won't be Josh Hader. So probably have to get a little more creative. I think that's also could be something. Like, I do think there's going to be at least one, if not two, pretty significant trades this offseason. So I think closure could be another one where they explore that.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely a need.
Yeah.
All right. So next week is Thanksgiving, so probably no great Orioles news then. But after that, yeah, it's time to get rolling.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. You ready?
Maybe
to wrap it up?
I was looking at the calendar. I mean, next week is the 20th is Monday, and the next week is the 27th.
Yeah.
So maybe that December 4th is when we start to actually get into things.
Yeah, I think so. Hopefully I can do a little league update next week because our playoffs start this week. It was supposed to start Tuesday. Tuesday got rained out.
Still doing little league?
Yeah.
Nothing dragging that thing out.
I know. Playoffs got rained out on Tuesday. It's supposed to pick up again tomorrow, but it's supposed to rain all day tomorrow. So I have a feeling it's going to get dragged out a little further.
Oh, wow.
No. But we got a good, we got a lucky draw matchup that the team we're playing in the first round of the playoffs is the only team that we have beaten this season. So we got a chance. We've played competitive against a lot of teams. This one we actually beat before. So we can go in with a little confidence going into this game.
Yeah, I'm seeing also a lot of these on Facebook. And maybe because now I started following a couple of groups, baseball groups, but all these travel ball teams now are having tryouts.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that on Facebook a lot.
Yeah, I'm very anti-travel ball before younger than 12.
Yeah, so you're saying 6 years old is probably too young.
I think so. Yes, I know. I know. Albie Burt's kid is on a travel team.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't. I think you got to wait and be a little older. Is my
opinion. And there is something tempting for me, Josh. The only reason I would even consider it is, like, my son can throw and catch. I would like for him to play with some other players who can throw and catch a little
bit. And I get that. I get that.
That's the only reason. I'm not into the money or the travel. I just want to be able to throw and catch with somebody.
Exactly. I see the commitment by parents that for travel ball, the commitment that the parents have to make financially, and then the amount of games and travel and all over the state where it's like, if I've told Owen, hey, if you want to play travel ball, that's awesome, but you better be out there practicing every day. Like, I need to see that you love this game for me to commit that much to it.
Yeah, and that's my idea. Like, I'm not concerned about, like, burnout for Silas because he would play every day. He doesn't care.
Right.
He loves baseball. But, like, that at that point, it feels like he is ruling my life, and I'm not ready for him to take over my life yet.
Right. And it's like, yeah, I'll make that commitment if the kid wants it. I see too many parents pushing that on their kids.
Right. Because they're trying to get their kid ready for the majors, Josh. You got to start them young.
Oh, totally. Yeah, no, I saw someone say outside of baseball that one of the joys of having kids is that you get to push them to be better than you. And I get it, what he was trying to say, but I was like, I can see so many parents that are like, well, I didn't make the baseball team, so I'm going to make sure my kid makes the baseball team.
Yeah.
So.
And, yeah, and part of me is like, I wish people could see, like, Gunnar Henderson at the age of 13 and compare him to your kid. Because yes. I'm of the opinion major league players are freaking special athletes. They're like, they're not just guys who are really committed and play hard. Like, they are the best of the best.
Yes.
And if you are not so much better than everyone around you, I'm sorry. Like, you can play and maybe go even play at college and have some fun, but
no.
It's not in the
exactly. Cards. And it's, if you look at, what they say about Gunnar Henderson this week and what they've said his whole career, like how the kid grew up and like was outside doing baseball every single day, like since he was younger than Silas. And they ended up building a baseball field at his grandfather's backyard because
similar thing with Grayson.
Baseball every single year. And Grayson, the same thing. Like, yeah, these major league players are pretty special. Some just have the talent, but it's also the talent combined with working on this game every single day.
Yeah. But even before that, like, I guarantee, even if Gunnar didn't play every day, you line him up against a bunch of other 13-year-olds and he's 13. And it's, I mean, you just see it. You just see players who are, I mean, I remember playing basketball against someone who went and played D1, and I thought it was pretty good. And you watch him and he's like, he's at a whole freaking level, and he like rode the bench for Kentucky. And you just like, there's just such a difference in athleticism and ability. I don't think good. I'm glad your kid is having fun and is competitive in this 12-year-old league. His chances of even playing college ball are so small. Playing professional ball is minute. So I hope parents keep perspectives here.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Maybe Silas can grow up and take over this podcast.
Sass already has
that than playing pro ball.
Yeah, like Sass already has a plan if baseball does not work out. So he's already, we've already talked about it.
What's his plan?
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah,
baseball's number one. If it doesn't work, Chick-fil-A. And then he wants to work at a minor league stadium during the minor league season. And then when it's not minor league season, with the Chick-fil-A. So he's got it set up.
You know, I was thinking, I was thinking maybe this offseason we could have one of the Savannah Banana guys on here to talk to and hear about how what it's like with that. Because, you know, I played softball with one of the guys who's currently on the Bananas.
Mm.
So I thought maybe we could get him on and talk about that, what kind of makes it different with minor league baseball and all.
Yeah. So. That'd be cool.
Now you're over there itching. I see you itching.
I'm scratching at this. Uh-huh. I got the itches going on here.
Yeah, we better get out. We better get out of here. Let you go deal with that.
Yeah, let me just go itch somewhere else. All right. Well, guys, write us a review on iTunes. We're still crushing this thing in the off season, so keep listening, keep subscribed, tell your friends. Go rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. X. You can follow me on X at Section336. You can follow Josh
at Josh Roca.
But I promise you, I'll post no gross leg pictures on my X.
Yeah. Save those for part, please.
Yeah. All right, boys and girls, thanks for listening. And as always, go O's. And go Ravens.
Crushing the curve.